This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
All right, good morning, C3. Give it up. Y'all glad to be here? Come on. Let me hear you. Yes. Man, hey, let's get it up for the worship team this morning. Come on, man. What awesome. I'm kind of in worship, and I'm looking up, and I'm thinking, man, this morning, if you two and Justin Bieber could have a baby, that just happened right there. You know what I'm saying? That was incredible, man. Hey, you know what? Let's get up for a pastor, Pastor Byron. I love me some Pastor Byron. I so do. Man, you know what? When I think about Pastor Byron, he's like the neon Dion. He's like primetime pastor. You know what I'm saying? If there could be like a Heisman, you know, for pastors, he'd win the Heisman every year. That's right. Come on, give it up. Man, that's right. You know, a couple weeks ago, I watched it some online. I saw Pastor Byron get up in that electric blue suit. Y'all remember that? Oh, yeah, that was some hot daddy stuff. And I'm thinking, dude, if somebody needs to be on a commercial with Nick Saban, y'all know who Nick Saban is? You know, coach of Alabama. Some of you Florida people remember when y'all used to have winning teams in college football. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, come on, somebody shout back at me here. You know what I'm thinking? Man, that's Pastor Byron, buddy. He's so awesome. And then, not just Pastor Byron. Come on, let's get for Pastor Barry Leathers. Y'all love Pastor Barry? Dude, I'm watching Pastor Barry bring the word last week, and I'm like, you know what I think about Pastor Barry? I think Pastor Barry reminds me of like Stephon Curry. You know, he's like, all of a sudden, you're like, he's not 6'8", but he's draining some three-pointers from the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? Give it up for Pastor Barry. Yeah, man. Oh, so loving. Rescue stories. Man, we love rescue stories, especially the story part. We're drawn in, we're held in, and we want to see the result. And a good rescue story is like, yes. I remember about 30 years ago, one of the first really just intensely held into rescue story. Some of you may remember, some of you not old enough. There was a little girl in West Texas, Midland, Texas. She fell, like about 30 years ago, into a well in Midland, Texas, baby Jessica. And all of a sudden, for like 56 hours, we as a country, not as a country, but literally worldwide, we were held captive to watch the story. Would she be recovered? Would there be a rescue story? And finally, yes, they rescued baby Jessica. As a matter of fact, she ended up, man, you know, she ended up at the White House, did some cool stuff. We love rescue stories. Some of us remember recently one of the most rescue stories, Damar Hamlin, played for the Buffalo Bills. You might have been like I was that night. The TV on, all of a sudden, in the middle of the NFL game, which never before had they postponed an NFL game and just cut off. Damar fell to his back, and they thought it was over. Administered CPR. We didn't know for a number of days what the result, what would happen. But we all know the rescue story. Damar made, there is a rescue story. I love it, man. Michael Strahan, he interviewed Damar just a few weeks ago. If you remember, if you saw any of it, he asked Damar, what would you say? What would be the result? Why did you survive this rescue story? And Damar had one word. His one word, he said, God. God, that's right. God was his rescue story. We all love rescue stories. This morning, can I share you my rescue story? Can I do that this morning? I want to show you my rescue story. My rescue story is based out of a verse in God's word that really is a part of and my story. Oh, by the way, you know how we love rescue stories, don't you? We love rescue stories so that an actor named Tom Hanks can play those rescue stories, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Tom Hanks, I love it. In Tom Hanks, you know, we've got like Sully. You know the story of Sully? You know, he was, you know, pilot, landed the plane in the Hudson River. Then there's the, you know, Captain Phillips, where he, you know, captained the ship and he was held hostage during that time, that period. And then there's Saving Private Ryan. You know, what a great story. And there he played Jim Lovell of Apollo 13. And then, you know, Castaway. But my favorite rescue story, come on, throw it up there. Turner and Hooch, yeah, right. Man, I love it. But getting back, okay, my rescue story, John 10:10, God's word says this. It says the thief. Now, we know what God is referring to, Jesus is referring to. He's referring to Satan. He says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And a part of my life, a part of my journey was I captured that. I understood that. That what I thought would bring me life, what I thought would add life, what I thought would give life, what I thought, man, in the back room would be like, yes, there would be an emptiness, a loss, a sense of death, a sense of not really life. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I grew up in a small town in southeast Missouri, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. My growing up days, I was probably a little bit different than yours. But part of it was my dad, my pops. My dad traveled full time. Now, when he left on a Monday and came back on a Friday, my dad was a river boat worker. He worked on tugboats and, you know, worked on, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, and barges up on the Missouri River, Mississippi River, Tennessee, Tom Bigby River. He was on all those. So my dad would leave, be gone like 30 days in a row, and then, you know, he'd come back home. Now, being a riverboat worker, my dad was a big dude. Not that he was like 6'8", he was just jacked, huge guy. I mean, as a kid growing up, I remember we get a little playground fights or be at Wally World or, you know, Kmart or something, and be, guys get, oh, my dad's big, you know, dad. I'd be like, no, your dad not bigger than my daddy. Look, yeah, my dad's big, you know, daddy. I go, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you come over to my house? They come over to my house, walk in the door, see my dad, you know, sitting on a big old Naugahyde couch, and I go, that's my daddy. They go, oh. Your daddy big. My dad would come in from working on a riverboat. Now, I don't know if you'd had this as a pop, your pops or something growing up. My dad would come in from working on a riverboat, man, take his old sweaty, smelly riverboat clothes off, throw them in the corner, and put on like a pair of gym shorts, three sizes too small. You know what I'm saying? Pops, you got to help a brother, okay? Now that was a big, my dad was hairy. So it's like, growing up, my dad was sort of a cross between Chewbacca and The Rock, okay? I'll tell you, man, my dad did literally, he was afraid of nothing. I remember one time me and my bros, we were playing baseball. We're at Cap Hall Park, hitting some, you know, sticks, hitting baseball, just going at it. And dad was home, you know, from being out on the road. He came to pick us up. We had gotten the grocery getter now. Now, today, y'all know a grocery getter back in my day was, it was a station wagon. Y'all know what a station wagon is? See, today's the van generation, you know what I'm saying? Mom goes, beep, beep, hits a bar, hits a little button, and all of a sudden the door goes, you're like, what's that? Now, in a station wagon, we rode in the back third seat. Did anybody ride in the back seat of a station wagon where you're looking backwards? You're like, oh, this is not life. And then some car pulls up behind you, starts waving at you. You're like, dude, I don't know you, you know? And, of course, my dad, he wanted to save energy, so my dad left the back window down about that far on the station wagon, which meant the fumes would come in, you know? And then you're like, I'm feeling really good, Pops, you know? Yeah, I got me some brain poison going on here, you know? But so we get in the grocery getter. We're coming home. We top Lear Drive in Cape, coming down the hill to turn in the driveway. We turn in the driveway. The garage door's open. All of a sudden, when the lights, because it's just at dusk, hit into the garage. There's this coyote in the garage. We're like, what's a coyote doing up in here? My dad throws the car in park. Me and my baseball buddies, my dad turns around and goes, hey, boys, y'all stay in the car. We're like, good idea. My dad gets out of the car, starts walking in the garage. My buddies are like, what's your dad doing? I said, I don't know. My dad walks in, Jukes moved with the coyote. The coyote, like his fangs came up, like he's coming toward my dad. I thought my dad was going to die. No, my dad made this juke move with his left hand, left arm, and nailed the coyote up against the garage wall. My buddy's like going, oh, yeah. My dad took a bandana, wrapped around the coyote's jaws, scooped him in, came over to where we are in the car, knocked on the window. I rolled the window down like that far, like, what do you want, Daddy? Like, where's the rabbit cage? Oh, my rabbit cage, Fluffy. See, when I was a kid, Mom and Daddy gave me a little rabbit called Fluffy, but I forgot the responsibilities. You have to feed the rabbit. It didn't work so well. So Fluffy no longer there. Fluffy went to puppy, you know, excuse you, rabbit heaven. Maybe there's puppies there too. And so, but there's no cats there because that's another story. And so we go around the backyard, open up the house. My dad throws his coyote in my rabbit cage, locks the house. People in the neighborhood grow up. They got little puppies and kitty cats. I got a coyote, you know what I'm saying? So growing up today is a little bit different, man. Now, let me tell you something about my dad. Growing up, when I say my dad didn't go to church, he really didn't go to church. My mom, my sisters, they'd go to church. When my dad'd be out of town, I'd go to church with him some. But I remember going to middle school. My dad one Sunday morning said, hey, Robbie, we're going to go to church today. I'm like, man, that's cool. Go to church, take my dad to church, because I've been telling my church buddies when I saw him every once in a while how big my daddy was. And now my daddy's coming to church. And I remember that morning, went to that church in Cape Girardeau, and we sat where my dad sat on the very end of the aisle. I sat right next to him. Man, because growing up, dude, my pops, my dad was my hero. He said it, I want to say. He did it, I want to do it. Just want to be like my pops, 100%. So he sat down and sat beside him, my mommy, and then my two sisters. Now, that morning at church, I really don't remember much about what the pastor said, what really happened, but I remember this. At the end of the service, it's kind of an old school church where the choir stood up and they gave an invitation if people wanted to respond to what the pastor said. So everyone's standing up, and all of a sudden, as that invitation time happened, my pops stepped out of his chair into the aisle, and I'm like, remember, my dad was my hero. He said, I want to say. He did it, I want to do it. So as he steps out, I just walk in behind my pops. He starts walking down the aisle toward the pastor down front. So I'm just following my dad. My dad, when he gets down to the pastor grabs my dad's big old hand, looks up at him and says, sir, why are you coming this morning? My dad basically said, I want that Jesus you talked about. I listened to everything the pastor asked my dad. I heard every response my dad gave back to that pastor. Then I watched the pastor as you prayed for my dad. After you got there praying for my dad, he grabbed my middle school hand and said, sir, why are you coming? Son, why are you coming this morning? I'm just thinking, dude, I wouldn't be like my pops. I'm just kind of walking down the aisle. My dad did it. I wouldn't do it. My dad said it, I wouldn't say it. But I'm like, dude, it's the pastor, dude. What do I say? And all of a sudden I thought, dude, you know what? I'll say to the pastor everything I heard my dad say to him. So everything the pastor asked, I gave her a response I heard my dad say. A couple weeks later, you know, on a Sunday morning, because my dad really did come to Christ, my dad followed in baptism. You know, that Sunday morning, I got baptized because my dad got baptized. But look at me, listen to me. You know what happened in my life right at that point in my life? Absolutely zero, naught, nilch, nothing. Sure, I walked an aisle. Sure, pastor prayed with me. Sure, I got baptized. But I just did it because my dad was doing it. And I still didn't understand what was going on in my life. Man, a few years later, get in my high school years, I remember going to an FCA rally, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, some buddies of mine invited to. I remember it was a huge auditorium sitting up in a balcony. And I remember the guy who was speaking that day at the Christian Athlete rally began to share a story. He shared a story about a mom who had a daughter who was like maybe 18, 19 years of age, and she was concerned that that daughter knew about Jesus and could hear about Jesus. So she said, dude, would you come talk to my daughter about Jesus? I'm not connected, but I want her to know about Jesus. So the speaker said he went over that house to meet the mom and that daughter. He said he sat down on the couch, he opened up God's Word, began to share with her. He shared with her out of the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, it tells us that all of us, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. In other words, on our own, we're without God. He shared how he told her that literally kind of born, like, let's just say the cross represents Christ, of course, that we're born with our backs to God, and we live our life, sin, all of sin. The problem with sin is S-I-N, the middle letter I. Sin says, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and God, I really don't care about you. He said, we're all born with that natural. That says, you know, I'm not born, I'm just toward you, God. I'm really bent and born toward, I want to do my own thing. We all understand that. You wake up every day, we do understand that if we're not careful, it's all about I, me, number one. I want to do what I want to do, whatever I want to do it. And if we really get honest and we really know the truth of it is, the inside says, God, I'm really not sure I care about you. And then he went on to share how in Romans 5:8, it says this, that even though we're sinners, even though we got that bent to say, God, I don't really care about you, God's word says he loved us in this, that even though we are sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he did on the cross. God didn't wait for us to start loving him back. He said, dude, I love you so much. And that's what we're going to celebrate Easter, what Jesus did on the cross for us. Then he went on to share how that evening he's sitting there at the couch, and how Romans 6:23 says the wages are payment for sin. Sin, S-I-N, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And God, I'm not sure I care about you. The wages or payment for sin is death, separation. Where God says, okay, I'm not going to make you come to me, but if you keep choosing to live without me, then I'll give you what you want. Death, separation from me now in this life and eternity. But Romans 6:23 ends by saying, but the free gift, not something you earn, not something you have to do to get it, the free gift of God is eternal life. He looked at her, and I remember him sharing, okay, at Christmas time, you ever gotten a gift? And I'm watching the story thinking, yeah, every Christmas. What's Christmas about? Give me a gift. Come on, bring it on. He said, when is this gift? If I'm handing you a gift, when does this gift really become yours? And she answered it. I would have answered it right there sitting beside him. She said, when I receive, when I take it. He said, that's it exactly. God offers you a free gift of eternal life. Then he quoted a verse out of Revelation chapter 3 where Jesus says, I stand at the door of your life and I knock. He said, I want to come into your life. What he's saying by that, God in his word is saying is, I don't force my way in your life. I don't come around the backside and kind of push my way in your life. I don't sneak under the door in your life. I just knock and say, I want to come into your life. I stand at the door and knock. And that verse goes on to say, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. See, I've got to open the door. You've got to open the door. If anyone opens the door, Jesus said, I will come in. Now, I'd never really heard that. I'd been in church off and on. Even did that whole deal with my dad when I was, you know, middle school age, but I'd never really heard and understood, okay, I get it now. He then looked at her and said, would you like to receive that free gift? Would you like to open the door of your life and invite Christ to come in? And I really thought she's going to say, oh, yeah, absolutely. But to my surprise, she looked at him and said, no, I'm good. He said, are you sure? And she made some statement. He said, like, hey, maybe one of my grandma, my grandpa's age, I'll do the whole God thing. But right now, no, not me. And I remember he shared with her, you know, you have no guarantees of tomorrow. You know that. I know that. We don't have guarantees. Doesn't matter what age we are, where we come from. We have no guarantees of tomorrow, right? Can be here and gone. And she goes, yeah, whatever. He talked about how he went home that evening. When he got home that evening, late that night, his phone rang again. It was that same mom. After he left the house at night, three of her friends drove up, said, man, let's run down Dairy Queen. Everybody needs to go to Dairy Queen. Come on, love me some Dairy Queen, man. A little sour serve ice cream, a little chocolate on top of it, put a little cherry on top, a little nuts in it. Come on, throw it on me, baby, you know? She gets in the back seat, two of her buddies, two up front, pull up to a four-way stop where they lived in Jeff City, Missouri. Pull through the four-way stop. Whoever came top the hill, just never saw. Four-way stop plowed through it. T-boned the car that they were in. The brunt of the impact was right behind the driver where she was seated and taking full brunt of the impact. Just like that, her life was gone. He took his two fingers like this and he said, in just a moment, she closed her eyes and opened them up in eternity. But she said no to Jesus. So there was not life, there was death. And all of a sudden he said, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm like, dude, wow. I bowed my head, closed my eyes, and all of a sudden I began to think about that story. I began to think about that fall. A guy named Tim, who was a lineman on our football team, that, by the way, our senior annual was dedicated to Tim, who never made it to a senior year, who never made it to graduation, because early one morning on the way to school, something tragically happened. His car turned upside down in a ditch, 3 feet of water, lost his life. It just started to hit me, and I just, all of a sudden, I'm not sure why, I just started crying. You ever have somebody ask you a really stupid question at the wrong time? My buddy Sean's next to me, he leans over and goes, hey, are you okay? No, stupid, I'm crying. He goes, what's up? I go, dude, that just got to me, man. He said, I tell you what, Robbie, he said, man, where I go to church, he said, dude, if we feel something, we'll go down, maybe ask pastor to pray for us. Man, I'll go down with you. You want to go? I'm like, dude, that's a good idea. We step up, we're in the balcony, man, and we walk down to the front, whoever dude was speaking at, and I just grabbed his hand. I said, bro, would you pray for me? Now, when I said, would you pray for me, I didn't want him to ask me any questions. I didn't want to say anything, but I just bowed my head real quick. I can remember him putting his hand on my shoulder and praying for me. We got through praying for me. I let go, went back up to my seat. You know what happened in my life that night? Zero, zilch. I was moved. Oh, I was moved. I was brought into that whole what's going on, made me think about life and death and whatever. Time passes. I get to like my senior year in high school. I remember I was in biology class, Miss Jones' biology class. Miss Jones, killer teacher. All of a sudden, right in the middle of biology class, it's like I heard God speak to me, not out loud, but it's like in class, I heard God like saying, hey, Robbie, do you want me? And I remember thinking, what? I mean, yeah, I do want you, but I'm thinking, dude, we're in biology class. What's going on? I can't, like, hey, teach. I got something going on here. It's like, here, God speaking to me. Something weird's going on. You know, it's kind of like, what the freak is happening, you know? And all of a sudden, I thought, this is crazy. I laid my head on my desk, like, dude, whatever's going on has got to stop. Miss Jones stopped teaching, walked up, tapped on my desk and said, Robbie, you okay? I look up and go, you know, Miss Jones, I'm not feeling good. She goes, why don't you go to the office or whatever, you know, maybe go to the nurse's office. I'm like, sure. I grabbed my books. I walked out the door. I didn't go to the office. I didn't pass go. I didn't collect $200. I walked at the nearest door I could, and I just started walking. I thought the longer I could walk, the harder I could walk, the more I'd quit thinking about this God speaking to me thing. I even walked by my car in the senior parking lot. Man, I had a boss car when I was a senior in high school, a Ford Pinto. You talk about styling, profiling, boop, boop, yeah, hello. Put my 8-track in, boom, boom, yeah, come on, Jesus, you know. And I'm like, I just thought if I can walk long enough, I can walk fast enough, and I can just get this off my mind. What is going on? I got to my house. I finally just walking long enough, fast enough. I got to my house there, man, 525 Luan Drive, just walking. I walked in the back door, and my mom's sitting there, and she goes, what's up? I go, man, I'm not feeling good. You know, she just said, what do you mean not feeling good? I was like, I'm headed to my room. I remember walking up those steps from the den into the kitchen. I wanted to walk back past the table in the kitchen. My mom's Bible was sitting on the kitchen table. I grabbed my mom's Bible, and I kind of held it like that. Mom goes, sure. I carried my mom's Bible, went to my room. For 3 days, I just sat in my room. I never really opened the Bible till that time in my life. I might have carried the Bible to church with me because I couldn't walk out the door if I was going to my mom and go to church without a Bible. Where's your Bible? I don't know. Go find your Bible or I'm going to beat your booty. You know, it's like, okay, here's my Bible. Good. Okay. You know, open up. I don't know how God does that, but you know what I opened up to? When I opened up God's Word, walking in that room that day, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, I got it. I thought all the drugs I was taking was going to give me life. I thought the stuff relationally was going to give me life. I thought athletically, if I could do this or that, man, I had life. But I had those times, we all do, when life settles in and you're in the back room all by yourself and everything's dark, so to speak, ain't no life. It ain't breathing. It ain't what you think it is. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. I just kept peeling through God's word for about 3 days. At the end of 3 days, I remember walked out of my room, threw my mom's Bible back on the kitchen table, kind of went back about my life. A couple weeks later, I'm home. It's a Saturday night. My mom, my dad weren't there, my sisters weren't there. And I was just watching a program on the great Green Bay Packers of the middle to late 60s where they won the first two Super Bowls, Coach Vince Lombardi. And I love me some football. So I was just enamored. I'm watching this program. And all of a sudden, in the middle program, I heard God speak to my heart again. It's like God said, Robbie, you want me? And I remember thinking, man, Jesus, I want you. It's like God says, come on, open the door. I got up off the couch. I walked over and I hit the TV. That's before he had a remote control. Come on, help me out, somebody. Hit that power button. Got down on my knees in my den, living room, 525 Lamont Drive, Nashville, Tennessee. And all I knew to say, Jesus, I want you. I want you to come in my life. Open up the door of my life. And right now, that on my knees, I made the decision, you know, I'm done. And I turned my life to Jesus. You know what happened in my life that morning, that afternoon, that evening? Absolutely everything. Would you do this with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Here in just a moment, Pastor Byron, your pastor, is going to kind of bring this part of the service to close to the point where it needs to be. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed.
It's interesting to me that before time began, God knew you would be here today, and he knew what would be talked about. So I just want to ask you a question. Kind of in a moment of prayer, heads bowed, eyes closed, do you need to be rescued? Did you hear that or sense that voice inside? Louder than what Robbie was talking about, saying, yes, this is what you need. Today is your day. This is your moment. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to invite Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sin, give you a home in heaven after this life, and give you his spirit to live inside you in this life day by day, if you'd like to accept and receive that free gift and make it personal, make it yours, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. You can pray it out loud, or you can pray it in the quietness of your heart. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus knows even our thoughts. So if you'd like to invite Christ to come into your life today, just pray this prayer. Just say, Dear God, I know that I need you. Jesus, Please come into my life. Please forgive my sin. Thank you for loving me. As best I know how, I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to know it. You can text your name to 407-487-8311, and Pastor Byron will be praying for you this week. And also, we want to thank you for your faithful generosity. You can go to giveC3.cc, or you can text C3 Orlando to 77977. Thank you so much for how you give. And if you are in Central Florida, please join us in person at our campus at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Have a great week.